Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next step on your spiritual journey, hosted by three fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you're likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it is like to wake up to your authentic self. Hi, I am Lola Singer, and I am with my co-host,
Amaral.
And our third co-host, Pamela, is on sabbatical. We hope to have her back soon. And in the meantime, we were thinking, well, maybe she didn't want to be in part of this particular topic anyway, because what we have chosen is the Tower Moment. For those of you who read tarot, you know what I'm talking about. And even some of you don't when you read tarot, you've heard that term, Tower Moment. This is when we get a big life lesson. Hopefully we're feeling the push to move on our own accord. But sometimes we get the rug pulled right out from under us. And that's how I'm feeling today. I have gone through a gamut of emotions in the last 3 days. It's all related to the grief process for something that transpired 2 years ago that I thought I had healed. And because the anniversary date of, for me was a big loss, I'm getting the feelies. And I have realized that my tower moment is that I'm not even close to finishing the grief process on this. And that's okay. I always tell people the grief process takes as long as it can. But guess what, guys? I'm stuck in the anger cycle still. That's really at the beginning of the grief process. So 2 years later, I'm still PO'd. And I thought I had cleared it. So there's my tower moment. And I've had the weepies all for the last couple of days because of it. Yeah. And what would you like to say about you and tower moments?
Oh, man. So I do have to say that I do like the tower moments. And I only like them for one reason. I have empathy for anyone going through the tower moments. But I can appreciate the fact that it's what is no longer us that is just collapsing down and coming down. As many of you know, I've shared before that I kind of went on the fast track of my spiritual growth. So part of that is the lessons are like really big and really immense. Like, for example, one of the things that's really how it's playing out in my life right now is everything that I'm attached to or anything that I have been attached to is collapsing down because I cannot have any attachments as far as things. Because when you have attachments, you have expectations and you're pretty much saying to the universe, I can only be calm if I have this. And the issue with that is the universe is like, you really don't need anything. So let me challenge you to show you that you don't need any attachments. Yes, again, things that we have can bring us forms of safety, such as a home, a car, things like that. But really, truly, when we detach from things, we realize what the things are important and things are not as important. A few things that we want to add to along with this tower moment, we're kind of all really going through it. And that's a reason why we wanted to talk about it because so we also have, as far as energy goes, we have a new moon on the 27th, which will be the day that this episode airs on. And then the next day we'll have a 7-planet alignment. And the 7-planet consists of Mercury that affects us in communication, Venus represents love, Mars action, Jupiter expansion, Saturn restriction and form, Uranus rebellion and unpredictability, Neptune intuition and spirituality. That's a lot of energy. So if you're going, I'm sure there's a lot of people going through a lot of shedding. So that's why we wanted to bring this up, because I think that is great. We want to be in support for the community, and we ourselves go through this shedding as well as anybody else. So we're going to point out what we're going through so you see how big shedding can be, but also how to stabilize ourselves emotionally too, like what to do when we do reach these points.
Yeah, so it's last time there was a planetary alignment last month, I think we all felt like we got a kick in the teeth.
Yep.
And it was to force us to look at things and make some serious changes. And I bet a lot of you in the listening audience felt that too. Now we've got an extra planet added to this.
Yeah.
And these are planets that are antitheses to one another as well, because we've got Jupiter, which is expansion, paired with Saturn, which is restriction. We've got Venus, the goddess of love, with Mars, the god of war. I mean, it's kind of for us to learn duality, but in the midst of learning duality, it feels like we're getting a 1-2 punch here.
Yeah.
You know, because they can work together, but they're also opposites. So it just doesn't feel easy this time around.
Well, because I think that what I've been seeing and what I've asked Spirit and the answers that I've gotten is we are all working on different aspects of ourselves, right? So it's almost like if we have all this energy that's coming in at once, there's no going around it. We must face it. I think that in other times we had the option of like, okay, you can just ignore it, but now it's just going to make you feel so uncomfortable until you finally deal with it.
I think we're being purified before this new moon. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I want to bring back about the Tower card in tarot that you touched upon, is that the things that are, if you've ever seen a tower card, it's usually a tower that's crumbling with fire around it. And the tower has to fall because it's based on false illusions.
Yeah.
It's based on the kind of training and indoctrination we've received all our lives, that we find out as we get older, wiser, and more observant. It's like, there's no basis to this for me anymore.
Yeah.
So we have so many systems crumbling at this moment because we're moving into a new era on top of it. So what is crumbling? Well, you know, perceptions of what relationships are crumbling, perceptions of what our government is crumbling, perceptions of what we thought our spiritual teachers were are crumbling. Mm-hmm. So they have to go. So amidst all this mayhem, I can't speak for every tarot card, but in my favorite deck, the Toth deck, if you look up above the tower where everything looks like a disaster on the bottom, there are symbols of the new growth that comes from letting go of these outmoded concepts we had. So there's going to be an Eye of Horus, which is intuition. There's going to be a snake, which is transformation, and the Dove of Peace as well. The Dove of Peace in the midst of this chaotic card is very important, because once we strip away the false, the word I'm getting from the guides is values, rules, and indoctrination, then we do come out purer. We come in with greater insight, and we come out of it as new people, but more insightful people.
Yeah. It's almost like there's the cycle that we all go through of death and rebirth that is really about collapsing everything that's no longer us to open up and bring in what's really truly us.
Yeah, but that said, when everything's crumbling around you, mm-hmm. it's such a difficult process.
It is. And we're not, I wanted to share a story about my crumbling process that's really personal. And I think that this would be good to just kind of put it in perspective as far as what kind of massive changes we're talking about. So I have been doing hair for 23 years. Spirit has been nudging me and doing all sorts of ways to tell me you're done with that. So first, I felt like I lost myself in doing hair, because I felt like I was known as a hairstylist and I wanted so much, because of my experiences have been with the past, to be recognized as who I am as a person. And when I started, I had no boundaries. So because of that, we're talking about 12-hour days, 6 days a week, which would get anyone to burn out. And I did teaching as a way to just soften that up. Well, then I had two jobs and was like still overdoing it. And it wasn't until yesterday because I already had known that it had pointed it as you're done of doing it as a way to make a living. You can do it as a hobby, but and so all of a sudden I get this client, and with this client I went through pretty much the things that I absolutely could not stand about doing here. I love my clients to death. I'm not ta saying that all my clients are this way, but what I'm saying is the dark side of the clients, of people that don't value you, people that try to manipulate you, people that try to change things around to cater to their needs and like really show you that they could care less about you as long as they're being taken care of. And I like to say that the reason why I got in it in the first place was because I wanted to make people feel beautiful. But my translation of was that was from the inside out. Unfortunately, with the society that we have, everybody is more focused on the exterior. Not every client, but what I'm saying is when I open up for the public, that is a general consent of everybody's so focused on the outside. And I don't want to partake in that. The thing about it is, you get to live your life and you get to experience all the situations and all these different ways of seeing life. And I want to make a difference. I don't want to do anything I don't feel proud of. And it's so funny because I listened to this guy that was like, he has a really funny saying that he says, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a fuck no. And I really truly believe that now. I mean, not that I probably need to cuss about it, but it just sounds funny because it really is like that. If you're not doing something that is making you feel alive at this point, because we are in the age of Aquarius, you will soon be moved to do something else. And by saying be moved, that means it will collapse. Everything you know about this place, the comfort that we get is everybody says the same thing. Well, this is how I make a living. Yes, that's not the only way to make a living. And once we shift out of these indoctrinations of you just have to self-suffer and take it and tolerate it, then we move into soul level, which means what makes me feel good, what makes me feel proud of what I'm doing. And so far, hair has just closed up for me. It's one of those things where I no longer identify myself with it. I absolutely love my spiritual clients and people that are open. I love having great conversations. And that makes me go at flow. But unfortunately, if I open to the public, I get everything. I don't get to choose who comes to me. And a lot of the times, even though I'm aligned to help, I can't go back and try to redo everything that I've gone through because it's just too much of a toll on me now. So that's my tower moment. What's your tower moment, Lola? I mean, if you want to share, you don't have to, of course, but.
Well, I kind of want to give a little summary of your tower moment. So the tower moment was like an epiphany for you.
Exactly.
So a tower moment does not literally have to be that everything crumbles around you, but it can be a profound shift in the way you think.
Yes.
So like you're saying, we're attached to, oh, a 9-to-5 job. I have to have a 9-to-5 job. I have to have a 9-to-5 job. And that's one of the things that are crumbling now. For me, I guess going back to the grief cycle is that because there's an anniversary, actually the anniversary already passed, and that's why I started getting weepy. Should we go into the details on it? I don't know. Well, anyway, it'd take too long, I think, to go in the details. But anyway, there was a profound loss at my end. Related to not one, not two, but four animals that, because of something tragic that happened to the mother, I had to say goodbye to, honestly, I'm going to cry. I had to say goodbye to four cats in one day because the kittens had to go to a foster home. And I'm still grieving over that. And I'm still mad that I was put in a situation where the mama cat was harmed. And nothing I could have done. I found her in the corner, paralyzed in her back legs in the morning. We had to go to the vet, and turned out her heart couldn't handle life anymore, so I had to make a decision. But I also couldn't raise the kittens by myself, so they went to foster home. And because this anniversary is coming up, not only am I sad, but the grief cycle, which I know comes back over and over and over again, but it's come back so strong that my tower moment is, like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I am not even close to finishing up the grief process if I'm still angry and resentful. Because that's one of the first stages. I mean, the first stage is not accepting it. And then the second one is anger. So I got a long way to grow. So my tower moment is I'm not as advanced as I thought I was. I did not do as much healing as I thought I had. So I recognize I have to go back and I have to face these feelings. And part of the res is resentment. I'm resentful of the people who ended up with the kittens. Sorry, you're all my friends, and I'm glad you adopted them. Emerald's one of them. But I'm resentful because I did not get to be part of the kittens' lives. And especially after when the first one was born, it was a runt. I had to rush him to the hospital, the vet, and he had to be pumped full of sugar water. And he survived. There was a 50-50 chance he'd make it. So it was so stressful to begin with. I went through so much with that cat, and I had her for less than 2 months, and I never got to relax with her because she was pregnant. We never got to bond, and then the kittens were taken away from me, and I had bonded with them, but they didn't know me because they barely had their eyes open when mama had to go. So anyway, anger, lots of anger. And so that was my tower moment. My tower moment was, hey, Lola, you are not as advanced on your healing as you thought you were. So tower moment doesn't have to be like you lose a job, you lose a girlfriend. Oh, you the country music songs, right? Lost my job, lost my girlfriend, lost my truck, all that stuff. It can be a mental shift, and my mental tower moment is that you got a lot more work to do on healing, Lola. So I hope that helps you understand the tower better. I know that ultimately I'll get myself balanced out, but as far as grieving goes, I also know I have to honor wherever I'm at so that I can heal it. So I'm sorry, there's four beautiful people in my life who took care of, well, three of the kittens plus another kitten that the mama had from a previous litter. And I love you guys all, and I'm so grateful that you're all taking care of Mama Cat's kittens, but I really feel cheated.
Well, and it's more of the circumstance of how things went happen. It's not like you have a personal thing against any person. It's just the way things happen were obviously very abrupt, very rough on you. And yes, you have every right to feel the emotions because these are your true emotions that you're feeling.
I mean, it's just I just lot I didn't get the chance to enjoy the cat or the kittens. Everything happened so fast. So anyway, tower moments. What we're trying to, I guess, say is not to be afraid of them. I think we're all conditioned, especially people when they do tarot readings, they think, oh no, the tower card. But I know Amaral sees it as an opportunity. And I had another student before, she goes, I don't even look at the bottom of the card. I love the top of this card. So every time she would get the tower card, she was just focusing on all the positive. Because the things that need to be stripped away is basically patriarchal thinking. So one of the things that I like to point out is one of those systems that needs to go is the happily ever after Disney, everybody got married thing. Okay? Because anybody who's been in a committed relationship, and particularly once you make that commitment to marry, knows that there are tower moments. This is not happily ever after. There's always tower moments when you're in a relationship.
There's just those tower moments provide so much growth, though. And that's what sets it apart between a relationship that survives and a relationship that doesn't, is how much you're willing to truly put into it by growing with it rather than just allowing it to collapse in a way.
Well, but the thing is, you actually can't avoid a tower moment if you're picking up on the signals ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're going to get, like, for example, let's go back to Amaral. Several times he's been questioning, do I want to continue to be a hairstylist based on my current experiences? So you could have made a change earlier. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that play out, too, when things start happening. Like, for me, to the degree of 23 years being put in it, everyone I know knows me as a hairstylist, right? So then you become good at it, and then your ego's involved. And then you continue further, and then you lose your identity, and then you're like, everybody considers you just a hairstylist, pretty much, and have so much more to give and to do in this world than just hair. And I'm very grateful for my clients. I'm very grateful for the opportunities that grew from there, all the experiences, but I just need to choose me, ultimately. And that's the one thing that people will not choose is themselves. Is it worth going through the chaos of being in a job that you no longer enjoy? Is it worth staying in that relationship that is no longer fulfilling you? Is it worth losing yourself because you're not choosing yourself?
Well, in addition to that, while you were speaking, I was thinking about what are some other things that are being stripped away, tower mm-hmm. moments.
Yeah.
And on a group collective level, there's a lot. So we have the individual ones. Oh, and by the way, the other thing I wanted to point out about Amaral's epiphany, which is a tower moment, was that he also ended up hurting himself physically.
Yes.
Doing the work yesterday. So he's like, why am I doing this kind of work that hurts my back and dealing with this perfect storm of a customer who was a mirror for him of all the things he doesn't like about what he's currently doing.
Yeah. Well, and I want to just add a little bit to that because it will bring more clarity into it. Through the years, 23 years is not like a spring chicken moment. Like, you've been doing it for quite a bit. So one of the things where it takes a huge toll is your back and your body. And I have known that in order for me to survive even now is to have good boundaries. That means if I have two clients that have really long hair, I cannot book them on the same day. Otherwise, my body would be paying the price. So because I had to switch the client that's scheduled for a service that I couldn't do that day, I booked her for the next day next to her sister, and they both had super long hair, so my shoulder was hurting a lot. This is after I had already self-promised myself to have boundaries, to take care more of myself. And all of a sudden I get home and I reach this major time of I have no one to blame but myself. And I literally cried because for the first time it's like I'm just holding myself fully accountable of what am I doing? Am I just speaking to speak, or am I practicing the talk? And to me, I can't be a hypocrite to the things that I'm promising myself. And so I'm literally even like kind of coming out as far as saying that I no longer will be doing hair publicly, as far as I will do it as a hobby, maintaining the clients that I have that I absolutely love. But as far as expanding into new clientele, no, I'm shifting out of that. I can no longer do it. My body will not allow me to. I've been plenty of times guided to stop doing it because it's just hurting me. So it's just interesting how things happen, but I'm just listening in.
Yeah, and that brings up another thing, because we talked about tower moments being an epiphany, but mm-hmm. sometimes it's a physical shock to the system, like you getting hurt. One time, I think I talked about this in another broadcast, but I ended up being bedridden for like 2 to 3 months because I was walking down a really steep hill in Seattle in the rain, and I slipped on a manhole cover and went flat on my back. Ugh. And then, you know how we are, brush it off. I walked all the way to work, which is down, if anybody's seen Seattle, down at the waterfront, toward the waterfront. And
excuse me.
By the time I started working for a while, my back was hurting so much, I ended up having to go to the doctor, and the doctor put me on bed rest and would not allow me to go back for months and months. And all I could do was lie on my bed, and I couldn't even hold a book very well. I certainly couldn't. I couldn't hold a phone very well. So I think I was doing reading I could get away with. So I fortunately had some spiritual books, and that's when I had a lot of time to work on myself spiritually and do a lot of reading and inform myself. So that was a tower moment that had a good result ultimately, because it helped me shift a lot. But it was based on a physical tower moment that just literally threw me off kilter completely. So you may have had those too, like especially like even an illness, you know, where all of a sudden you're just all you can do is sit there and think and go inward.
It's really interesting because it's not that we're just telling you guys, oh, make sure to take care of yourself, self-love, unconditional, giving unconditional love to yourself is source, God, whatever you want to believe in, will make you prioritize yourself. Because if you're not appreciating yourself, it will definitely do things to make you change your mind on that. An example for that is my husband. He just kept not prioritizing himself until finally got to the point that he can't work anymore. He thought his work completely was just what he did and he needed to do for his rest of his life. And I mean, he's been going through quite some shifts because when you put so much into my value is based on my capability to work. If I don't work, I'm not worth anything. That's a really bad mindset to be in because eventually there will be a tower moment because it's trying to teach you to value yourself, to give love to yourself, to respect your body. So sometimes we can think that we have the upper hand, and when we have health, that's all great and all, but it will take a toll if you're not valuing and prioritizing your health first.
Yeah, and everybody's tower moments are going to be unique to them, but you know, it's all about expansion and growth and getting away what ha has getting out of the way what has to go anyway. So I'm going to go back to yeah, they're not fun at all while you're experiencing them usually, unless it's just a mental epiphany. Well, even those are hard. Like my mental epiphany about this grief, I started going on a shame spiral and picking on myself and getting upset with myself because I hadn't gotten far enough on my grief cycle. Boy, you know, so then I brought in another cutting edge there, you know, like I'm ashamed of myself, I'm angry, I'm a failure at grieving, you know, all these things. And it just then you have to catch yourself and realize, oh my gosh, now I just added, you know, being cruel to myself to the list here.
That was like me last night. I added shame because I was shaming myself because I can't even maintain my own boundaries. Now try this one for heaviness. Then I thought, if I cannot even hold good boundaries for myself, how could I ever hold boundaries for others or for anything in my life? And I was like, whoa, that one, like it felt like a huge rock landed on my head.
Yeah, so like my human design is a role model slash hermit, so I'm supposed to be a role model. So this is why I'm telling you this stuff, you guys. It's not because I'm proud of it. It's to show you that we all go through this stuff, and it's all part of the process of purifying. So as you go on the spiritual path, I think we did an episode about this. It's normal for people in your life to fall away. So the tower moment might not be a harsh one. You might go, wow, I kind of forgot about Leslie. When was the last time I thought about Leslie? Well, Leslie hasn't thought about me because Leslie's not reaching out to me either. I mean, that could be a tower moment right there. Oh, I've lost Leslie. Do I really want to reestablish? No, I'm done with Leslie. You know, that's okay. Because you're going to be moving on to a different group of people. Find your tribe. People. Relationships, husbands, wives, ooh, long-term relationships, those have tower moments too on the spiritual journey. If it's good alignment, it will stay. But usually one person is outgrowing the other.
And when we're talking about relationships too, is we're not, there's no such thing as like happily ever after. It's like if you both choose to grow and you will stay together. If you don't, eventually you will be separated. Living situations, meaning where you're living at, sometimes you're completely pushed to move somewhere else because you're no longer in alignment with. And that's another thing that it's brought up is it's all best based on alignment. As you grow, when you're working constantly on yourself, especially with this energy shifting so fast, you're going to grow in a way where you're going to outgrow situation places. So a lot of people that are really dedicated in their spirituality end up moving a lot or end up changing things drastically because they have to. Their energy changes to the point where they're no longer aligned. There was a it was a really interesting situation happened to me just yesterday amongst every chaos and things that had already been happening. The person that I looked up to the most as far as seeing as a decent human being that I'm like, wow, they like, I just had so much admiration and stuff. And it so happened to be, yes, I'm going to admit it. It was a celebrity. I unfollowed her because I just could not even remotely be okay with the materialistic aspects that have prioritized on her life, and that just the frequency is so off. I know I'm just no longer aligned to it. But imagine that, right? So you shed away who you looked up to because it represented some form of, oh, they're really like have it and all this stuff, and you like kind of value them. And this is why it's so important to not have idols in a way in your life, because when you do, and they're only human, they're gonna follow their own path. And I'm not saying that this person or this artist needed to follow a thing to make me happy, but I have to make the choices of, am I aligned to this or not? And ultimately, but now I left up so much room because I don't have no one to look up to except for myself. So I'm gonna even focus more on self-growth. And now I'm going to be able to really see, I can distinguish who I am, where do I want to go, and what things truly align with me. And think of how much that is pretty much like taking your power back. Because whenever you are looking up at someone, whenever you're thinking anyone in this life has this perfect life, you're giving your power to them, whether like you may not admit it or you may not notice it, but you are.
Well, this is a perfect segue into something I kind of touched on earlier and then kind of dropped. So let's go back to it, mm-hmm. which is that, yes, we're having individual tower moments, and mm-hmm. that's a normal part of growth. But we also have collective tower moments.
Yes.
And because of that, one of them is what you just talked about. The cult of celebrity is dying.
Yep.
We don't consider them stars anymore. We don't consider them more intriguing or better than us anymore. We're actually seeing a lot of their flaws. And that's part of what happens when you go from one age into the next.
Yes.
The emperor is not wearing clothes anymore. And we are not falling for it anymore. We're seeing not only, depending on where you put your attention, we're not only seeing that we're not interested in these celebrities anymore, we're also finding out that some of them have done some egregiously awful things. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be part of that. So there's a giant group culture tower moment. This person or these people I used to idolize mm-hmm. in the music industry or an actor, actress. Oh my gosh, I want nothing to do with it anymore. Good. That's normal part of the process when the collective is changing. Mm-hmm. So you've had probably had a few tower moments with that already, just like Amaral has. Mm-hmm. Another one is government. And reason I'm bringing this up, because I think a lot of people are discovering now that, I'm just going to say it. Your vote didn't count. Your vote didn't count. Your vote didn't count. You are seeing now that what you thought was going to happen is not happening. I don't care what side of the bird we're talking about, the blue wing or the red wing.
It's still the same bird.
Yeah. So a lot of us are realizing that government is not what we thought we are. And definitely the politicians, they are even worse than we thought they were. Mm-hmm. So the system is dismantling slowly but surely in front of us, because there's going to come a point where humanity is not going to put up with this nonsense a whole lot longer. And this is all part of moving into a new age as well. So there's no cult of celebrity for politicians mm-hmm. anymore. I guess some people still have some residual of that, but I think a lot of us are really seeing through the facades here. So tower moments, and I even saw something today about someone was talking about how the Pope, his health is failing. Mm-hmm. So people are starting to realize, you know, like, oh, even religion, you know, this there's what we thought was sanctified and holy. Well, if he's that sick, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
So people are questioning things. That's normal. That's what we need to do when we move into the age of Aquarius, because Aquarius is about authenticity. And so the things that are inauthentic, even if you think they're authentic now, and if you do, I'm sorry, I probably bruised you a little bit, but you're going to find out the more you watch what transpires, the less authentic these systems are going to feel to you. And that's normal with the Tower, right? So the reason I'm bringing this up is because the collective is going through a shift, which means people in your life, whether they want to or not, are going to be part of that collective shift. And it is going to challenge their identities of who they are completely. So they're first probably going to go through denial. But yeah. I'm bringing this up because you, I, Amaral, everyone listening, needs to be aware of the stages of grief, because the people who are currently attached to any of the systems I just mentioned are going to be in grief when they find out their idols are not what they thought they are, because they've invested part of, each person has invested part of their identity into this belief of the idol or the religion or the government. So as they have to start letting go, you're going to see a lot of people in these stages of grief. And I would recommend we all know what they are, so we can recognize it and you can support your loved ones through these kind of situations where basically their own identity is being ripped apart, Tower moment, because they invested so much in these systems that they thought were so much a part of them.
Well, and one thing that I just want to mention before you start with describing the different parts is, when you're putting so much energy into something and saying, like, pretty much, you're pretty much giving your power away. I have a lot of clients, because I work with the Hispanic community, they're in full on in fear mode. And I tell them, there's no one that stands on this earth that could ever strike fear on me, or I would give my power away to have such an effect where I'm so stressed out, where I feel like, oh, I can't sleep right, or it's just absolutely nonsense. Like, it's time to take our power back. It's time to stand on our two feet and really understand who you are. You are way more than what you've been made to believe. You pretty much, as a society, you've been put as, you are pretty much not important. When in reality, you are not only important, you are very powerful. And where you focus your attention and where you put your power in is where it grows from. So if you put it on you, you start growing and you realize that all these structures that you once thought they were a certain way, they're on full collapse mode now, because there's no way they're sustainable. And ultimately, there is two collectives, I do have to say. There is one collective that's 3D that's feeding on the chaos. And there's another collective that's growing and want to work together towards bringing a better living experience for everyone. And that's the one that we're all focusing on collectively, because there is that 3D mindset that it's here to stay. They're not going to shift out. And maybe these are your relatives, but you have to choose you, because you are no help when you're going down with everybody else, period.
But that said, you can support the people who have a Tower moment shift, exactly, because they're shifting more toward the questioning what they always thought is supposed to be. So they're stepping out of that 3D. Mm-hmm. So the first thing, I guess, before we dive into the grief, is to recognize cognitive dissonance. Okay, because cognitive dissonance is when something is so contrary to the person's core beliefs and values that even when they're seeing all the evidence that it needs to change, they will hold on to it tightly, mm-hmm, and they will defend it. So I would suggest first, if you recognize that in someone and that they have the potential to change, is just dropping little seeds and nuggets. Mm-hmm. See how they react, and then just recognize wherever they are. If it's cognitive dissonance, you could argue till you are blue in the face, they are not going to listen.
Yep.
So, but if somebody looks like they're like, oh my God, I've just had an idea that I never had before, and it's just throwing me so off, you know, what's going on. If you see that they're looking for answers, recognize, because they're shifting their identity so much as they let go of this conditioning that was so much a part of them, you know, like, I'm a good worker and I go to church on Sunday and I always vote, you know, this party, they're going to be starting to question that. And so the very first one goes with cognitive dissonance. It is denial. So when someone's in denial, and I'm going to read this from a website I just pulled out, it's a defense mechanism that shields the mind from the full impact of the loss. Mm-hmm. So that's why I brought up cognitive dissonance first. So you'll be even in denial. What do you mean it's not normal to go to work 9 to 5? What do you mean this particular politician is not doing what I voted him to do? What do you mean the church did that?
Yeah.
Right. And then the one I'm very familiar with right now, number two, is anger. It says it's a normal response to grief that can include feelings of frustration, resentment, my favorite word right now, and injustice. And yeah, I think, you know, those of us on the spiritual path, we had so many moments of having things we believed in wiped out for us, mm-hmm. with tower moments, that we know this. We know you do go through anger at a point. You absolutely do. Especially if it's concerning things like politics. It's like, I just want to go after those people. But no, that's not what you do.
Would it technically under this category to the whole division game that's being played out would take role too, because it's the anger that's separating both things. They're both angry at each other, but they don't understand that they're being played by corporations, a mm-hmm. whole system established to have them be divided, so they don't focus on their power.
Very hard on dividing us, mm-hmm. you know, in some ways that are obvious and some that are not so obvious.
Yeah.
If you just look at this as a video game, you're going to be very far ahead. Okay, because in a good video game, there's always someone trying to trip you up, isn't there?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one is bargaining, and that is an attempt to regain control of a situation that feels hopeless or vulnerable. Oh, vulnerable is a good word. Mm-hmm. That is a good word when you're dealing with tower moments. You're very vulnerable. It's like you're stripped naked. You don't know who you are anymore. All these clothes and masks you were wearing were gone. You feel extremely vulnerable. Okay, so trying to regain control of a situation. Well, there's some situations, if they're happening at a collective level, that are pretty much impossible to regain control of. You know, we may think it, but sometimes one person, you can shift your own thoughts and ideas, but that doesn't make you the superhero that can change what has to change. So the systems that are falling and failing right now have to. They have to, so that we can see what we don't want. And that way we can come together as a community of human beings and create what we do want. Okay. Depression is the next one. A natural response to loss that can include feelings of sadness, loneliness, and despair. It is hard to have your identity stripped away.
Mm-hmm.
So natural depression, I'm glad they said it was natural. Feelings of sadness, loneliness, and despair. Because you feel powerless.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they had it all figured out. They knew how the system worked. And then they found out they didn't. Mm-hmm. And that the system that they've been holding on to has to go anyway. So you're not going to stop it. It's an avalanche. The tower mm-hmm. is falling so that we can move into a new age of cooperation. We're done with the age of competition. Okay, which is what we're stepping out of. Okay, the next one is acceptance, acknowledging the new reality of life without a loved one or finding ways to move forward. Mm-hmm. So I guess the loved one would be whatever ideology you were holding on to.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was there. I'm not. I'm still at anger. And that's okay, because we cycle through these grief cycles for a reason. They come back. Hopefully they have a little less punch each time we revisit them. Mm-hmm. But ultimately it leads to acceptance. So I just wanted to bring that up because there are going to be a lot of people they're going to be in denial about them being in grief.
I also want to mention something too. A lot of these times when people are going through this, you see, for example, those people, I don't know who would be, but those people watching the news all the time, that's what they based off of their reality, right? So then you have a television that has a camera that's setting it in a certain way to get you to think a certain way. And depending on what channel you turn to is what it's going to be talking about. When I was interested in doing hypnotherapy, one of the questions on the very first thing I filled out, what is the top mind control thing that exists nowadays? And the answer is television. Search it for yourself. This is why it's so important when we say turn off those news. It's because it is a mind control system that they're playing out with you.
Plus, the flicker rate puts you in a hypnotic state.
And so with that, the other thing to think about is if you continue to watch the news, you're like, oh, everybody is stuck in here. This is what everybody's doing. And it's not. What you're doing is when you're giving your power away by these systems, the moment you choose, I am better than this, and you start going you choose your peace, that's when you're practicing your power of stepping away and no longer partaking. And that's when you find tribe members that think alike, that want nothing to do with that chaos of a world that's being presented. Just because it's being presented to you doesn't mean you need to take part of it. And how do you shut that off is by taking away your power from it, which a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, one of your biggest powers is to neutralize something. It's mm-hmm. not to fight it.
Yep.
It's just to neutralize it.
And I didn't, was that the last stage of it?
Yeah, okay. We got through them.
So another thing I wanted to bring up is how to shift the energy of the tower moment that is affecting you. So what things do you do to help with you shifting out of it? Because yes, you're going to witness it. You're going to acknowledge it. You're going to have your those moments of like, aha moments. But at the same time, while you're going through it, there's things you can do to shift out your energy so you start feeling better. Examples for me, which help immensely, painting. Oh my goodness, art. And I'm sure Lola can relate to this.
I did art therapy yesterday when I was going through my anger. Yep. Art, and then another thing I appreciate is Amaral went and I went to lunch before we recorded, and I said, I've got something to tell you that affects you because I'm angry at you right now, and it's really not you. I'm angry and resentful about the situation, but I'm just going to tell you because I got to get it off my chest. Yep. And he listened, and he spoke with me. It's just nice to have a sympathetic ear. He mm-hmm. wasn't judgmental about it. He had some suggestions and insights. I needed to get it off my chest, especially because it's a situation that it just feels so weird and unusual. There's not many people I think who could even relate to why mm-hmm. I was so upset, you know? And so yes, if you can find, you know what, even if you don't find somebody to talk back with you, sometimes just to say it out loud.
Or write it. For me, it works really well when I journal it.
Yeah. And then I've had to do a lot of self-searching. And one thing Amaral pointed out is I've used the word resentful a lot. So I have to look at, he said, where did this resentfulness start? It may have been earlier than this particular situation. And I took that as, yeah, he's right. I'm going to have to be, you know, looking at myself. So I'm sure I'll be doing some meditation. Tarot readings help me because they kind of show me where I'm at right now and how I could be moving forward. And other forms of divination we've talked about before can be helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, some people like runes, some people like reading tea leaves, some people like throwing bones, you know,
tarot,
oracle decks. Why not? You know, it's a way to connect to the divine. That's why they're called divination. And so it's a way to go past your conscious awareness to get answers.
And also
spirit guides.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been calling on my spirit guides too. Hey, this, you know, because you have spirit guides. You have a team of spirit guides. It's just you don't know their name, but you do know their function. So you can call in the guide who can best help me to process this yeah. right now, or help best help me to get the insights I need right now. They do need permission to come through.
Yeah.
So like I said, you don't have to be identifying your guides as far as, oh, it's angel so-and-so, or it's chief this, this, and this. All you need to know is, hey, the guide who can best help me right now with this situation that I'm describing right now, come on through. I need you. I really do. Thank you. And always thank them. Always thank them.
See, that's the other thing too. So along with having a balance and along with having this connection to spirituality, it's knowing how to ask too, because what you're asking is for assistance. You're not giving your power away. You're not telling them, oh, holier than thou, please, I beg you to help me.
I'm so unable to do things myself.
It's such an off energy, because what you're coming to is help me, as assist me with knowledge, assist me with understanding, help me find the peace within, things like that. Whether I've been working lately with angels and archangels a lot, but it's funny because I can be a trap. And Lola mentioned to me, is like, well, that could be a trap too. And I get it. If you're giving your power away
to what you think is a deity.
Yep.
And angel's a messenger. That's literally what angel means, right?
Exactly.
Treat it as a messenger. Oh, they're just bringing me the information I need.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just do your spirit team. You don't have to know exactly which one of your spirit, like Lola said, spirit team members is coming in. Just say, my best spirit team member that can help me at this time with this, I would greatly appreciate it. And once you feel more at ease, like, definitely thank them. But it's all just, I mean, there's things, for example, when you're really in that moment, I just like to light a candle and let it all out on a piece of paper. And then after you write down, it don't matter if you want to cuss, whatever the heck you want to do, then burn it. Oh, man, how good it feels to burn that paper afterwards.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at the drum,
mm-hmm.
you know, so drumming and music yep. as well to shift your energy.
YouTube has a lot of frequency music, like especially like when you search it out, what I do is I put releasing emotion frequency music, and it has tons of different channels. You just play it as you're writing. It's about that frequency to just help you do that. Like just being thankful, for example, you write it down, you burn it, and then you let it outside, the ashes blow them out. And thank the planet for recycling. Thank Mother Gaia for recycling those emotions, that energy.
Yeah, and you can give it to a Gaia, because look what she does with things we already mm-hmm. consider poisonous.
Yep.
She takes them and she turns them into something that's useful for her.
Exactly.
So don't be afraid to let her let one of your guides take this stuff to wherever it needs to go, including Gaia, so it can be transformed.
And one thing that was huge, you guys, that I just like been really practicing, because it just came out of nowhere. And I realized, and as Lola said, sometimes we feel we are so advanced and we have everything. And then we realize, oof, I have not been doing that. Is when you're really affected by a situation and you let go of what's no longer resonating, call your power back. The power that you've been sending out to this thing that's been draining you. You can call that power back, and you can even say, I would like my power back cleansed and recalibrated, because you want it to be purified. Like you want your true power you've been sending out to come back to you. And literally I've been doing that lately, but before with certain releases, I've never really called my power back. So I almost went down again and said, oh, I didn't do it proper. But my spirit team was like, none of that. They will be like, you just call your power back. You just ask for it in the mornings. You've been doing that. It's fine. It's like you already healed those parts. You don't have to second guess yourself. And the reason why I'm mentioning is, just as everybody else, I am humble enough to admit I don't know everything. I will never know everything. I don't want to know everything. I want to grow. I want to be of service to others. I want to provide the information and the aha moments that I have myself learn, that I'm really appreciative, and know this, all this information did not just come to me. It has been given to me from so many other people that are more advanced than me, that really helped me greatly. And you know who you are, those of you tuning in. Even including Lola, I love, like, sometimes I'll be like, are you busy? And I'm like, I need to talk with someone spiritual about this, because sometimes that's the amazing part about having tribe, is being able to talk to someone. And I know that not everybody is blessed enough to be able to do this, but even if you don't haven't found your tribe yet, write it down. Do something to really release it, because you really don't want to trap all those emotions in.
Yeah, and to some degree, we want to be your tribe, you know, and that's why we are raw here. This is why we're
Exactly.
telling you that, yeah, I thought I was pretty advanced on the healing stuff, but whoo, I guess I needed that lesson. And that's what the Tower Rep moments are. They ultimately lead to lessons. And when Emerald was saying power, yeah, in the midst of it, you feel powerless, but you come out of it powerful, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, even the computer agrees. It's making noises. Yes, I'm going to repeat that. In the midst of a tower moment, you feel powerless, but you come out of it powerful. And that's exactly what you'll see on tarot cards.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about it, you go through it, you shed away what's no longer you, you shed away what's taking your power away. So yes, you're gonna be powerful. You're gonna feel so much better because you no longer have that, like you no longer are valuing those feelings that are making you feel powerless.
Yeah, because what you're getting rid of are falsehoods.
Exactly.
They simply don't resonate with you anymore. There's no point clinging to them. And so that's why, I guess, preemptively, if you're aware of it, you can consciously work on removing some of these falsehoods and doing things to let them go. But the tower comes through to finish the job up. So
And
I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes you can avoid a tower moment by initiating change on your own.
keep in mind, I just want to mention something really quick before we get going, because we're almost getting to that time. Also, as you're changing, your ego will really act up because your ego does not like change. So be aware of that, because the ego becomes tricky. Every single time it sneaks in, it will get at you from a different angle and reading off what you're already worked up over, because that's what happened to me. So, and remember, the ego is the barking chihuahua, is that sabotager that wants to keep things at the same. They don't like, it doesn't like change. So yes, when you're working on yourself, is going to try to get you to think that you're not doing things right.
Yeah, so then there's an inner conflict between safety and knowing you have to expand, which brings us back to Jupiter and Saturn and all these planets coming up tomorrow. So we must want to wish you the best navigating these celestial changes as well as your internal changes. And I hope you see the tower moment in a different light now. Anything you want to add real quickly?
Just thanks for supporting us. Make sure you share this episode to whoever you think could benefit from, including your friends.
Yes, the best way for people to find out about us is to let your friends know. So please pass the word on that we're here in Woohooville with you.
Yes.
See you next week.
Thank you for
Bye.
listening.
Bye-bye.